Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Then, when Jesus saw them, he said to them,
"Go and show yourselves to the priests."
And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked,
"Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?"
Then he said to him,
"Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I'm told that there are some people in this world who love their commute to work. But I am not one of those people at all. I'm the person who sees driving from one place to another as generally a waste of time and a complete inconvenience to my schedule. If I'm really honest, driving is probably the place where I commit most of my sins in any given day. I mean, not in the kind of like road rage kind of way, like pulling people over and like driving them off the road, but more like a passionate fan watching a football game on TV. You know, I will vocalize to myself that the car in front of me needs to go faster, or I just start shaking my head at someone who ran through a red light, or I think something probably too inappropriate to say during a sermon. So, with that in mind, this last week, I was on my way here to the church, and I was so ready to get out of my car and park and come inside and do something that I felt like was worthwhile. So, just down at the corner, I was there waiting for someone to cross the street, and they were taking their good old time. So I finally made the turn down Lemoyne Street, and that's when I was struck. Now, it wasn't by a car, or a bird, or a person, but rather I was struck by the view that I saw. I think it must have been my first glimpse of the changing colors of the trees. The deep reds and bright oranges and pale yellows almost made me want to stop my car if it weren't for the people behind me who would commit a sin like I usually do when I'm driving. So, I kept going, but I remembered that moment. For the first time in probably quite a while, it was that middle space of driving between work and home that all of a sudden caught me unexpectedly noticing the holy. The reason I tell you that story is because I feel like it's a little bit like today's gospel reading. For there we heard that Jesus was in this liminal space. It wasn't Samaria and it wasn't Galilee. He was on his way, but he was somewhere in between. And in that place, Jesus was approached by lepers who embodied the in-between themselves. You see, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Skinner reminds us that those with leprosy, well, they kind of looked like corpses because of their skin condition. And in the Jewish culture, you have to remember that nothing defiles quite like death. Nothing is as unholy as death. So to them in this culture, these people who had leprosy, well, they were like walking corpses. They were cast out of communities. They were excluded from society, and they were shunned for fear of making others unclean. Well, then, as the story goes on, Jesus does what Jesus does best, right? He ended up healing them. But if you notice, it wasn't with some dramatic pronouncement or with a special prayer or even laying on of the hands. Rather, he said, go and show yourself to a priest. That is, go and show yourself to the person, the only person in that culture, who could declare them to be clean and be welcomed back into the community. And if you notice very carefully in that wording, it was as they went that they were healed. It wasn't when they were with Jesus or when they were with the priest, but yet again, it was in the middle of an action. And I think this gospel reading is a striking story, partly, if not totally, because it's at odds with the world in which we live. After all, our society hates anything that it cannot label or categorize. We want everything to be male or female. We want to label abled and disabled. We gravitate towards the dualities of good and bad, right and wrong, light and dark, here and there. But the reality is that in our labeling of others, we can more easily be dismissive of them and be presumptive of those individuals. Labeling can make it so easy to cast aside those who don't fit, to reject those who, like corpses, look differently but are actually living humans, to dismiss those who don't fit in our binaries, and to literally enslave and slaughter people who don't look like the dominant expression of individuals. You see, as a society, the gray space, that in between, it is often so unsettling and uncomfortable that we act like those in Jesus' society. We do the same things to others like they did to the lepers. But so what we find in today's reading is that way of casting out others, that is not God's way. For God's way is an entirely different thing. You see, repeatedly, Jesus steps into the space between and reveals God's presence. Often we actually find that God is found more in the in-between, the place between here and there, between male and female, between this country and that country. For those are the places where Jesus steps, where Jesus brings about healing. But before I wrap up, there's one last character in the story that really stuck out to me. It's that one Samaritan. Remember, he was also on his way. He was in between traveling to the priests and from where Jesus sent him. And that was when he noticed something different. He noticed, he stopped, and then he gave thanks. And I think far too often, I'm actually not like the Samaritan at all. I so easily get caught up in going from here to there, or I'm busy with this or that, and I don't always pause to notice what's in front of me and give thanks for that. That's why, for me, gathering here with you each week is so important and necessary for me. It's that moment where I get to pause and notice and give thanks. After all, remember, worship at its essence means to give thanks. Giving thanks for all that we have received from God and from others by thinking and taking time to notice God in the middle of it all. Together here, our bodies and our minds and our spirits can offer thanks while also acting, while serving and while singing and while saying and while being in silence. You see, being here, that hour each week, it's actually training us to notice that God is present in every action, in every place, in every experience. And so ultimately, our time here is active training to notice God in all things so that we might give thanks. For you see, much like that Samaritan, it's in thanksgiving that we are transformed, we are made well. But if you were to go and translate the Greek word that is translated here as to make well, another way that you could do that is to say that in giving thanks, we are made whole. We are made whole, for gratitude changes us. Literally. In fact, psychologists tell us that gratitude improves our relationships. It improves our physical health, our mental health, our self-esteem. That just the act of giving thanks and reflecting on it actually makes us more empathetic. It reduces aggression, and it even can help us sleep better. So it's no wonder that other studies have found that gathering as a faith community to give thanks literally extends our lives. And another study shows that churches improve our communities socially and physically and economically. And so as I think about all of that and what researchers are doing, maybe Jesus was onto something over 2,000 years ago. Maybe when he named that in giving thanks that Samaritan was made whole, maybe Jesus is reminding us that in the act of noticing and giving faith, giving thanks, then we too are made whole. I mean, could it be that just the simple act of gathering together and giving thanks could bring about wholeness in our communities, in our city, and even have a ripple effect out into the world? Maybe that is what Jesus is trying to communicate today. So with that in mind, in just a moment, I'm going to wrap this all up, and we're going to have that time where we sit in our communal meditation. During that time, I invite you to take a big, deep breath and pause, and maybe even pull out a pen and your bulletin and jot down just a few little things that you can remember from your week, from your morning, that you're thankful for. As you're doing that action, recall God's love, God's justice, and God's peace found in those liminal spaces. And then as we continue worship, as you stand, as you sing, as you hear people speak, then look around at one another. Acknowledge that we are gathered here together to give thanks. To give thanks for our community. To give thanks for all God has given, to acknowledge and give thanks for all that we've been given in this service, for water and word, for bread, for wine, for the opportunity to be in conversation and in service. For today's gospel, friends, is giving us a reminder. It reminds us that in the middle of everything, not in some special destination, but in the middle of it all, that is when we are healed. That in noticing and giving thanks, we can be whole, our communities can be whole. But perhaps most importantly, God continues to be present with us, loving us and liberating us, whether we recognize God's action and give thanks or not. For giving thanks and being whole is an opportunity, not an obligation. For God has already set us free. So friends, thanks be to God for this gift. Thanks be to God.